Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing to notice in our gospel lesson is that Jesus and his disciples went across the sea over to the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. So they are up in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, over on the east side. So they are well away from where lots of people are. And it says that a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles on them which were diseased. So in addition to the great miracles recorded in John chapters 2 and chapters 4 and 5, in addition to those miracles, there were other miracles, numerous of them, that are not recorded in John's gospel, but Jesus was well known by this time as a worker of miracles. And so we are told right at the beginning, the motivation for this crowd of people that follows Jesus all the way over into the northeastern corner of the Sea of Galilee, the thing that motivated them was that they saw the miracles on them which were diseased. So they were focused on the miracles. And it was the miracles that are motivating them to come to Jesus in hopes that they will see more miracles. So in this pericope, what we're being shown is we're being shown the righteousness and holiness and gospel zeal of Jesus over against a lot of less than perfect motivation. So the crowds that are coming to him are motivated by less than perfect motivations. Jesus still reaches out to them and desires them to come to a true understanding and faith. We are even going to see here that Jesus gives the disciples an opportunity to trust in him and to confess their faith. But they basically focus on the difficulty of the situation so that Jesus has to use their complaining about the hardship of feeding all these people. He has to use it as a foil for his own activity. All right, that's important that you see that there's weird motivations and lacks of faith on every side, but standing in the midst of it is Jesus. And Jesus always stands in the midst of sinners, and he always beckons us to come to him, and he will feed us the bread of life, which is the sweet gospel of our eternal salvation in the shed blood and death of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so just as Jesus stands forth as the bread of life in this text for the people who were motivated by less than noble motivations, yet he does the same thing with us. We come to him in need of his grace, and he richly supplies his grace to us. Now it says here, almost in passing, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. That's not an incidental reference. What John is saying is, there is something about the miracle that is about to happen that has its connection with the Passover. What is Passover? When the children of Israel were being delivered from slavery in Egypt, As the final of the 10 plagues was done, they ate unleavened bread, and they killed a Passover lamb and put his blood upon the doorposts. And therefore, there is a connection with the Passover, which was celebrated soon in Jerusalem, and Jesus here. Because remember in John chapter 1, John the Baptist confessed publicly, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He was proclaiming that Jesus is the true Paschal Lamb. And it is his blood that marks our door. You see? And so here we are being shown that the confession that John made in the first chapter now gets further explanation in this miracle. All right, so we have to see the miracle in the light of the Exodus from Egypt, the Passover sacrifice, the Passover lamb that was killed and his blood marked the door so that the angel of death passed over them. And now we see Jesus seeing this crowd coming up to them, and he says to Philip, he turns to Philip and he says, "Where are we gonna buy bread that these may eat?" So Jesus here is revealing that he desires to feed these people who are coming to him, all right? Just as he desires to feed you, and he does feed you whenever you give ear to the word of God and whenever you kneel before the Lord and receive the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of the altar. Jesus Christ himself is present, and he is feeding you with his very body and blood. He is feeding you with his promises of grace, so that you may be spiritually nourished and be strong in the Lord. So here we see the desire of Jesus to feed those who come to him. What does Philip have to say? Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone would take a little. A penny, or in Greek, a denarius, right? A denarius was the typical pay for a laborer. So if you were a laboring man, a ditch digger, or somebody who went out to pick the fields, you know, in the day, you would get a denarius a day. So here, what Philip is saying is, it would take 200 days' wages in order to get enough bread so that every one of these people would just get a little bite, right? So Philip is pointing out that this is an overwhelming task. So Jesus gives him an opportunity. Now, what should he have said, right? What should he have said? He should have said, "Well, Philip, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people?" He should have said something like, "I don't know, but you do," right? That's what he should have said, right? But all he could see was the greatness of the crowd and the expense of feeding these people. That is, 200 days' wages would only be enough to give everybody a tiny bite to eat. So, then, in addition to that, Andrew pipes up. Andrew, he is Simon Peter's brother, and he says, "There's a little guy here, a little boy, and he's got 5 barley loaves, and he's got 2 small fishes." All right? The fishes weren't raw. They were not eating sushi here. All right? The 5 barley loaves, 5 loaves of bread, and the 2 small fishes were like smoked fish, you know, or dried fish. So they had 2 dried fish and 5 barley loaves. And then Andrew says, but what are they among so many? There are many times when you and I have been given, we have been placed in this situation where, in effect, by the circumstances that we're in, Jesus leans over to us and says, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? You know? And there are times in your life when you have had a challenge and Jesus leans over and says, so what are we going to do about this? Right? And what do we often do? We often focus on the enormity of the problem. We get lost in the difficulty and the seeming unending problem that is facing our lives, and we get a little impatient with the Lord. But what should we do in those times? We should look and remember, who is it that's leaning over and whispering into our ears, where are we going to get enough bread to feed these people, right? And to say, I don't know, but you know. And more than that, you have promised to hear me and help me. And therefore, I lay myself and my needs before you, and I rest in the assurance that you are going to help me. Right? So here we see Philip and we see Andrew, both totally focused on the difficulty at hand. So Jesus, he doesn't call them knuckleheads. He doesn't tell them off. He says, all right, make the men sit down. Remember, Jesus knew from the very first what he was going to do. Right? Make the men sit down. And then what looks like a Holy Communion service commences, right? He says, make the men sit down. In other words, we are about to have a banquet, right? This is the feast of victory for our God. We are about to have a banquet. And then it says, there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Why does John mention grass? Why does he say there was much grass in that place? Because what does chapter 10 of John teach us? It teaches us that Jesus is the good shepherd, right? And so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. All right, you see the wonderfulness what John is doing here? He is connecting Jesus. The people are now sitting down expectantly, and he's connecting Jesus to Psalm 23. And just as the Lord is my shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Here, these thousands of people are being made to sit down in a place of much grass. Jesus is not only the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, but he is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And therefore, we are told in this account that there is much grass in the place, and nothing is just incidental in the Word of God. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And then it says that Jesus took the loaves. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, right? So he takes it and gives thanks. And when he had given thanks, he distributed it. He gave it to you. Do you see how John is describing the feeding of the 5,000 in the same way as Holy Communion is described? The actions of the sacrament are being pictured for us here in the performance of this miracle. So he distributes to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. So he keeps reaching into whatever it was he was reaching into. He keeps reaching in and pulling out loaves of bread and little fish. And he keeps handing them out to the disciples. And the disciples are going out and all of these people handing out loaves of bread and pieces of fish. Right? And so it goes on and on and on until everybody has eaten themselves full. All right? So it says, when they were filled, that means that Jesus didn't give them a little morsel. He fed them loaves and fishes until they were full. They couldn't eat another bite. All right? And then he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So here, the feeding of the 5,000 is meant to remind us Christians that when we gather at the Lord's table, Jesus is doing spiritually among us the very same thing that he was doing to them. It is a physical food, but it is a physical vehicle for spiritual gifts and realities. We are receiving the same body and blood that were given and shed for us on the cross for the remission of our sins. And so it is here that the feeding of the 5,000 was meant to make people think beyond the outward act of the miracles to the question, who is this guy and what is he up to? He is the Lamb of God. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the bread of life. And he has come to you so that in him, you believing may have everlasting life in him. So the disciples are sent out to gather the fragments that nothing be lost. And they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that remained over and above to them that had eaten. So when they go to gather up the leftovers, there's 12 baskets. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles, 12 is the number of the church, and here we have 12 baskets of leftovers, which means that in the church, the gracious work of God is always present, it is always enjoyed, it is never wasted, it is always at our disposal. You see, that the grace that we receive in Holy Communion is not a momentary transitory thing, but that we live in the light of this and the grace sustains us throughout our lives as we continue to hear the word of God, to receive the sacrament of the altar. He is at work through these things to nourish our souls so that we may endure unto the end and be saved. All right, so now these people who came to see miracles, they have now gotten their wish. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. But like many of the Jews in that time and place, they misunderstood all of the promises about the Messiah to be claims of political ascendancy and power. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. And this guy just fed 5,000 plus people with nothing. He just did it as an act of his will, right? And now they're saying we need a guy like that running the show. We need to get him on our team. We need a guy with those kind of abilities to be playing on our team. But Jesus doesn't play on anybody's team. You are graciously invited to his team. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, these people wanted to co-opt Jesus, the bread king. They wanted to co-opt him for their plans and their purposes. But Jesus always eludes such people. All right? It says here, when he perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him king, he slipped away. He said he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So the minute that Jesus perceived that they had plans for him, he slipped out of their grasp and was gone. All right, so you know, this is a thing for us to remember, that when we believe in Jesus, we are being received graciously onto his team. And it is his agenda which is saving and blessing. And therefore, we want the will of the Lord done and not our own plans. We do not want to be like these people and co-opt Jesus for our plans and purpose. And those people always get fed up with Jesus, by the way. All those people who decided that they needed Jesus on their team, eventually they get sick of having Jesus on their team, because to them, with their worldly concerns, Jesus is a hindrance, right? You see people who come to church, you know, and they think that they're going to get some kind of thing that you don't really understand what's motivating them. They come to church, and then after a while, they're like, this is like church. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like something, you know, because I watched some show on TV, and it got me in the mood to go to, but it's just church. Ew, right? So the thing is, you know, people often will try to co-opt Jesus to their plans, but Jesus will not be co-opted. But some of those people, thank God, like the disciples eventually, they allow the plan and work of Jesus to work upon them until they grasp it and hold on to it and rejoice in it. All right? There's a big difference between the disciples shivering behind locked doors on Easter evening, right? And the disciples on the day of Pentecost standing up before the whole nation and going, "Men and brethren, listen to me. This Jesus," you know, that there's a big difference. And what is that? It's when the message finally gets through. It's when the Spirit is enabled to kindle faith, true saving faith in the heart. Wonderful. So anyway, today we are being encouraged with the Passover reference. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, which means he takes away our sin. That there is a connection between the miracle and Psalm 23, the miracle and Holy Communion, so that what Jesus was doing here, he's always doing among us. Even right now, he is feeding us with his holy word. And then, of course, we see that what God does once has lasting effects. The 12 baskets full show that those who have received the blessing of the Lord continue to live in those blessings, and the Lord Christ continues to supply and help those who have been helped. So, all right, that'll do for today. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.